webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 19th of December 2013, coming from the GR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. And here from Houston, Texas, please welcome the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams.
Good evening, Bears Bartlett.
And how are you, Sir Michael?
Not too bad. I just realized when you said it's the 19th, that's like, what, 6 days till Christmas? What in the world is going on?
Christmas. Hey, what happened to you this week?
Well, now, I think everyone kind of knows a little bit about my week from our PowerCast and me wanting to hurry up and get off to the beach. And you were exactly right. My recommendation as Michael Williams, the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution and star of the PowerCast right here out of Houston, Texas, recommended that the title of our show last week be Sandals in the Sand.
I knew it. I told
own
you.
Administrator completely ignored me altogether. You predicted it too, didn't you?
I did predict it because I know that this organization's a lot like the government. Jeff Robertson, he's like Congress. I am like the Senate. And you're the president, ignored by everybody.
Exactly. And we do well with it, too. So.
Oh, boy. Now, you met a bunch of people this week. We were talking a little bit earlier, and we said we might make this about people we've met this week, because I had a wonderful visitor this week, too. Al Vitale visited me.
Oh, yes.
Yep, he's from Gainesville, Georgia, and he's a buddy of Mel Gibson, who owns a Martin guitar. Or is it Mel Martin, who owns a Gibson guitar? I can never get that straight. But I'll tell you more about that during the show. And who did you meet this week?
Oh, my goodness. I reconnected with so many people. And on my trip down, I was trying to get to warmer weather. And, boy, I found it. Florida, the entire Florida, the state of Florida, south of I-10, was 82 degrees every day while I was there. It was just wonderful. I left here, it was 35 degrees. So my pursuit of the sun was a victorious pursuit. And the people that I met and reconnected with, of course, one of those, Jeff, being in Coral Gables, Florida, I'm hoping I'm saying that correctly. I always get that wrong. But getting to see Jeff, we met there at the Outback Steakhouse for a late lunch. But also, I got to meet Billy Sosa and Lana Sosa and their two babies. Oh, my goodness, what a beautiful little family.
Now, hang on. Is he English or Spanish, or what is with that name?
That's Spanish, yes.
And they like eating Australian food.
They were eating Outback Steakhouse. I remember when I was in Australia back in the late 90s.
I'm going to teach you listen, just before you go on with the story, I'm going to teach you how to say our country's name. I think that's the least you could do in honor of us, okay? It is spelt Australia. Australia.
Australia.
No, it's Australia.
No,
Australia. Saying, putting the L in is far too hard work. It's like media instead of media.
Exactly. You know, when you try to make, you try to force a donkey to do something, he just digs in his heels.
Okay. So, all right. So you've got Jeffrey, that's Dharma.
Well, I've got to finish the story.
Oh, okay.
I'm making a side trip here, and you won't let me do it. While I was in Australia.
Oh, that's good, mate. Oh, you're good.
It was back during the time where I really liked the Outback Steakhouse, and I thought for sure of all the places there would be an Outback Steakhouse, it would be in Sydney, Australia. And so we were looking around in the one particular area where the restaurants, some restaurants were. And so I walked up to a wonderful Aussie bloke and asked him where the Outback was.
Yeah, where's the Outback, mate? And are you serious? No, that's right. You're American.
He said, "Which part?" So I realized I had really blundered. All right, so that's my little side story. Back to Billy Sosa and his wife Lana and their children. We had a great visit. Lana is such a sweetheart. She's the one who said to tell you that you sound like you are 20 years old. And I told her that if compliments were going to be given to people like that, that they were to be made to me, not to you. So she understood.
What did she say to you? What was your compliment then?
I didn't get any.
Oh, so she just plain disobeyed you right there. Okay.
Totally, right there. As usual. As
the president.
Ignored by all. Eventually, Lana was leaving. Jeff needed to go outside for a moment. And the next thing I knew, we had been sitting there for an extended amount of time, just Billy and I talking. We didn't know where everybody went. We were so engaged in our conversation. But the Sosa family was just so delightful, and those two babies, my goodness, they are a bundle for sure.
So you and Billy talked for hours, and his wife made off with one of our staff.
Made off with Jeff, and it was just so very good. Billy wants to be a guest on our show as soon as he can. They're dealing with internet connections and things there. A brilliant young man, has a wonderful way of thinking through things. I was challenged, and I learned some things from Billy, and that's always a good day when you're learning. Billy's transition into the gospel, I think he told me he had about 50 personal friends and family that he has shared the gospel with since then, and family that's in mission fields, family in churches and friends, and so many of them have been tremendously impacted by the gospel. This has just been over the last year. You could not have wiped a smile from this young man's face if you'd have had a two before. It just was not possible.
How did we meet Billy?
Billy found us, as far as I know, on the PowerCast and on the internet. And he found some of the material. And I think at first was appalled that someone would have the audacity to say things like that, so out of order with Christianity. But was a quick conversion, a powerful conversion, and now his understanding of the gospel is really, really touching a lot of people's lives.
And you were telling me earlier, this guy is a really good thinker. He thinks very clearly. That's pretty unusual. Really, most of us are emotional thinkers, not logical thinkers.
Well, he is definitely a logical thinker, and I really enjoyed my time with him because it helped me think. You know, there's people you can have a conversation that's pleasant with just about anyone, but when you run into someone who helps you think, boy, I'm telling you, you've got something really wonderful on your hands, and that's what Billy was doing for me. He was helping me think, and God knows I need all the help to think that I can get. So,
Gospel Revolution.
Revelation says, through the death of Jesus, we are made righteous. If and as long as you do what we tell you, follow the leader and don't ask questions. All you need is Jesus. Oh, and be like us. In religion, they will tell you Jesus died for the sins of the world, but if you ask the average churchgoer whether somebody else is going to heaven or not, they will say, maybe. Did you know that every single major doctrine of the modern church, Jesus never spoke about even once? That's right. Look up your church's statement of belief, and without trying to make Jesus say what he doesn't, try and find in plain black and white where Jesus actually taught that. You know, you're going to find something very interesting. Every single one of those ifs, ands, buts and maybes depends not on what Jesus said, but on what your particular brand of religion teaches. And in Christianity alone, there are 40,000 brands. What flavor would you like? In the gospel, there are no ifs, no buts, no ands, no maybes. When Jesus prayed that he and we would be one in exactly the same way in which he and his Father were one, just ask yourself this. Do you think Jesus gets his prayers answered? Remember, you just aren't that powerful that your opinion of God could ever trump God's opinion of you. And he has made his opinion clear. He says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. He says you are his righteousness. God says you are his righteousness. How could that possibly be unless you and he are one? Tell you what, let's just take our ifs, ands, and maybes and our buts out of the way and just take Jesus at his word. What do you say? Isn't that interesting? Now you and I are similar. We come from similar backgrounds, and we can share our stories and that. But really, we're very different people, and you go about your life very differently than I go about my life. And yet, you bring these two people together, and you have this synthesis of I forget what the word is, synergy. Synergy. You bring two together and you've got more than two. You've now got three. You've got a third mind that is the mind of the combined two. You've got one, the mind number one, mind number two, and then you've got this bigger than both. So the sum is greater than the constituent parts. And when you bring people together who think, I remember years ago there was a fellow called Glenn Hensel and in my life, and he's still there. I just haven't spoken to him for 40 years. But Glenn, whenever I left Glenn, and he'd stay over at my place or we'd go out to a movie, whenever I left Glenn, I was thinking clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yes.
Being with Glenn made me a better person.
There is something about carrying out a conversation without an agenda that where you prize just the conversation and you prize the freedom to think and to say, number one, what's on your mind. And also, I think, Barris, being absent of course, this is fit under agenda, that you don't have a point to prove. You're not trying to prove anything. And in that environment, there's a lot to thrive. And then there's just those types of people that that carry with them that natural inclination, because we all can learn from each other. I have learned from virtually everyone in my life. I cannot exclude anyone from that, but there are people in my life that they definitely help me find that third mind, as you have described it. And everyone walks away feeling as though you've been elevated to a higher level of existence and understanding. And in many cases, you're not really sure who said what. It just all kind of mixes together. But anytime I find that, I treasure it, and I'm going to hold on to it for sure. So, and a lot of our friends out there, goodness, I have people that on occasion call here, and it's not just with questions, but they'll call with some insights. And to hear someone out is the most powerful thing you will ever do. To assume you know what someone is saying or assume you know what they're asking really is it winds up making the entire experience insufficient as to what it really could be. So I talk a lot. Obviously, I talk a lot. But one of my favorite things to do is to listen and to ask questions. And in that process, my goodness, you can learn so much. So all of you guys that do call in, those of you that do have things, I'm not real good at just a whole lot of chit-chat. But when it comes to talking about things where that we are trying to get trying to understand something, I'm all there, regardless of whether the opinions match or not is just irrelevant. So being there with the Sosa family was really wonderful, and getting to see Jeff again also. It's been several months now. Believe me, Jeff is settled in and loving his current situation, which worked out for all of us really in a beautiful way. And my other situation that I am really pleased about, Barris, was at the end of my trip.
I want to bring up two things. Is there anything you want to say to enhance your desire that Alvin keeps Jeff there?
No, I've done that personally with him on the phone. So.
Okay. And the second thing is this, and then we'll move straight on to what you were saying. Mate, you just reminded me of another friend in my life from way back in Glenn Hensel's days, actually. And his name was Walt Miller. And he was an American, believe it or not, who had come over from Colorado to Australia to, I think, bring his family up in some kind of seclusion from Hollywood values. I really don't know why he came, but it was wonderful because he was the first person in my life who, when I was talking, didn't try to interrupt me, didn't try to come in. And when I came over to America, I realized that that I came from a much slower culture. Here, when there was a group of people, it was like we were just suffering each other to speak long enough so that we could pretend we were polite enough for us to say our bit, and we really didn't give a rat's about what anyone else said because we thought our thoughts were so much superior. And Walt was not like that. Now, everyone in my life had tried to tell me this and tell me that and be this and be that and instruct me. But Walt listened.
Yeah.
And what you were saying earlier just really reinforced that, how you can validate a person by simply listening. In Christianity, we have seven steps to answered prayer, three steps to a fulfilled life, how baptism can, and how sanctification, and we have all of these how-tos, but we've got no one who wants to listen.
You know, I really do credit 42 years ago, our little group was to win people to the Lord. You know, we were just dedicated. We spent 8 hours a day witnessing. But
on the beaches, on the beaches, right?
Yes, that was been my on beaches, days on yes. the beaches. And also door-to-door, goodness, I challenged every possible character trait that I had by walking up and sitting down on a stranger's blanket to talk to them. And
you actually did what our pastors all told us to do, go out and share the gospel.
Oh, yeah. I traded in an 8-hour-a-day job for 8 hours a day witnessing. Because
you didn't have a little badge up here that said, no. Elder Mike Williams, did you?
No, we didn't have any little badges, and in some cases didn't even have any shoes, which led to injuries to the bottom of the feet. on a hot Florida day.
That takes faith.
You know, everybody was put with someone because that was the biblical way to do it. You know, you go out two by two. And the person I was put with was very proficient at this, and I learned it very early on. And so when we would go out doing our witnessing thing, the number one thing I was to do was just to listen. Don't interrupt. You have nothing to say. You're here to learn how to do this. And I remember in one of the situations, I thought I did have something to say. And after it was over with, he explained to me, he said, God gave you two ears and one mouth. He did it for a reason. And he had taught me not to interrupt somebody, even if I disagreed with what they were saying.
What does he mean by not interrupt someone? Yeah, what does he mean by not? Okay.
Kind of like that. You just let them just kind of play it out. So that concept that I've got two ears and one mouth and there must be a reason for that has stuck with me. Duh.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
Speaking of communication, then, of course, it was the lack thereof for the last 15 years with Audrey. If you recognize the name, it is the person that was in my family's life that we named my youngest daughter after, who is now 27 years old. So it's been that long ago. We had known her for several years before that, so more than 30 years in this relationship. However, she was there during the first part of the teachings about the difference between law and grace. As everything began to change radically, there was misunderstanding. You know, I was used to the pastors kicking me out. I was used to people who were not personally in my life, close to me, suddenly not returning calls and relationships falling apart by the hundreds, literally by the hundreds. And that's just the ones that I knew of. But this was close to the heart. This was the person that, since my mother's death when I was 14 years old, was the only person who I felt was a mother figure in my life. And boy, here we went again in this horrible separation. And any attempt to try to figure out what this was all about. And, of course, my defensiveness also. You know, I've been knocked down so many times. You know, the attempt, true attempts to try to resolve this probably was not at its best time for me. And so the division just set in, and it's been 15 years.
So this person after whom you named your third daughter, yeah?
Yes.
So she was of some real importance and significance to your own family. So this person and you had been estranged for 15 years?
15 years.
Wow.
Hazel, in her desire to reach back into our past, Hazel has been quietly working there in Olney, and she's gone through these address books and things and people that come to her mind, and was making contact and sent a book, cards. And the next thing, I found out that there had been communication between Hazel and Audrey. Now, Audrey is now 86 years old. My daughter, like I said, that we named after her, is now 27, but Audrey's 86. And when you go 15 years like that through those years, you think there's huge changes. Hazel had told me she had made contact with Audrey, and it was like, oh, okay. And, you know, it brought up some old feelings. And the next thing I knew, I was confronted by Hazel with the fact that she had told Audrey that I was actually coming to Florida and that I would like to see her while I was there. It ended up that I was in the area about 3 hours, two and a half to 3 hours sooner than I was supposed to be. So I had to make a decision. I was invited for dinner, but I wound up there 3 hours before dinner time. And what took place, Barris, if I were to identify miraculous as being drastic change that was completely unexpected, this would have been miraculous. Conversations, questions, honesty, why I took responsibility for what had happened, and I apologized to her. And I said, I do want to apologize. It was a very difficult time, and I have no excuses, but I should have explained to you better about what was going on. And so these walls just began to crumble. And then she wanted to actually ask, Mike, what is it that you teach? She said, I know that you started teaching some things different than what, you know, what we always thought. And I heard what other people had to say, but I've never heard from you what it is you teach.
Wow.
And I know that you and Hazel went through a divorce. And she said, but I don't even know about that. And she said, tell me. And so I started out just telling her a bit about the difference between grace and law. And I said, you know, the reason I got in trouble, Audrey, was because, not because I taught grace, but I taught grace as the thing that replaced law altogether. And that in the presence of God's grace, there is no such thing as law. And the law was there until grace came. And suddenly there was this connection that we had previous to this 15 years of absence. And even before that. And suddenly that locked in, that communication that we've been talking about, you know, where that there is a third mind, as you said. I really like that expression. There was a third mind showed up, you know. And I started learning from someone that I had not seen in 15 years who didn't agree with me for 15 years. And I'm sitting there and she begins to open up. And so the walls are dropping. It was the atmosphere changed. Everything began to change to the point to where I was having difficulty keeping up with what was actually transpiring. And then she said, now, Mike, I know I've got faith. I know I've got faith. Now, here she is. She's 86 years old, just spry, dressed well. She goes to the gym 3 times a week at 5 a.m.,
wow.
86 years old. And she drives her car there. She goes in. She works out, and she gets her workout done 3 days a week at the gym at 86 years old. And she began to make these comments about faith, but the trust was coming back. She realized that I was still the person that she used to trust. And I began to realize this is the person that I loved like my own mother. And all of these walls began to fall. I'm going to get through this without crying. And all of these walls began to fall. And then this honesty about faith just sprang right out of her mouth. And she said, I know I have faith, but when I ask God to do things, he does not answer. And I just opened my Bible to Romans 11. She had an Amplified Bible laying there. Do you have the Amplified Bible there?
I do.
I started reading to her verse 32. And if you would read that, I'd love for people to hear what I was reading to her.
Romans chapter 11, verse 32. Okay. For God has consigned, penned up, all men to disobedience, only that he may have mercy on them all alike.
Yes. The only word that is different other than just amplified is the King James Version says unbelief. So he penned up everybody into unbelief for the purpose of mercy upon all.
Well, that word in the Greek is apistis. It's variously translated as disobedience or unbelief, but
yes.
So it really says, for God has consigned or penned up all men to unfaith, only that he may have mercy on them all the same.
Yes. And I read that, and then I told her, I said, this knowledge was so great, this was Paul's response. And then I read the next four verses. Oh, the depths of the riches. And as you can see in the Amplified, that is his exaltation is amplified by that version.
That would suit this woman. I mean, obviously, she likes weightlifting.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm telling you, the expression on her face, you see, when you've connected with somebody, you know that look in their face when two minds are connecting and a third mind has arrived. I've loved what you taught me today. It's just wonderful. When two minds connect and a third mind manifests, and which I, you know, hey, mind of God, we'll call it that.
Yeah, synergy.
And this powerful understanding, and without me explaining it to her, and I said, you know, Paul said that he was redeemed by the faith of the Son of God. And she said, the reason that my faith don't work is because I don't need any. I didn't even know how to respond to her. I didn't tell her that. It was just this third mind that was in operation there between the two of us, and this love was reconnecting us. And she was speaking from her own heart things that I've been teaching and struggling to teach for the 15 years we've been apart, as though 15 years had been erased and she knew everything I'd been teaching for 15 years. And I said, Audrey, I said, the thing that we contributed to God and God made sure we all had for our redemption was not our faith. It was our unbelief. And I'm telling you, the sparkle, the peace. So, Mike, my entire life, I've tried to have faith. It has been the biggest burden of my entire life to have to know that in my heart, I really don't have it. And now I know I wasn't supposed to. Faith. It's his faith. And she began to share this with me. And I am just sitting there just – it's like I – you know, what do you do? We had dinner. Her daughter came over who has understood the gospel also. And my goodness. And Vicky looked up at her mother. Her mother's been going through some – even though she's very healthy, she's been going through some challenges. Her home burned down 5 years ago and has gone through some the loss of family members and, you know, just different things that she's had to deal with. And Vicky looked up at her in the middle of their preparing dinner and she said, Mom, I haven't seen you this happy in I don't know how long. And she looked up at Vicky, her daughter, and she says, well, of course I'm happy. I got my youngin' back. And
Who was the youngin'?
The youngin' was me. And that's what she used to call me. She says, that's my youngin'. Mm. And it's the first time I'd heard that in over 15 years.
Wow.
So we had dinner. We talked more. There was just this connection that was just so powerful, palpable, real. We went to bed that night and I slept in the room that the fire actually originally started in this 5 years ago. And, I told her I wanted to start early but I woke up at just about 3:15 and my thought was, you know, get on the road, get as much driving as I can get done while these morning hours leaves you nothing but your car and the pavement and you can just cruise. And, I thought, well, I don't want to wake her up this early, so I stayed in bed. And then about 15 minutes, I heard her up. So I got up, turned the lights on, and started to get ready to leave. And I had the bedroom door open. I was spreading the bed up, getting ready to make my bed. And she said, oh, Mike, don't do that. Says, I'll take care of all of that. So I said, okay. And so I just spread the bed up and put things in place and put my things in my suitcase and I said, did you sleep well? And she said, well, I woke up a lot. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I was hoping that you had slept well. She said, well, I kept waking up thinking he's going to leave this morning. And so I promised her because of that reconnection and the teaching. We were so connected on that level, you know, of where that understanding the gospel and wherever we were at that time. And I told her, I said, I'll fly back down and I'll spend 4 days with you. And we'll just sit here and we'll get our Bibles open and we'll just have fun, which I'm going to do. And believe me, I will have as much fun if there was 10,000 people sitting in front of me. I will be as into that, into that session and those times that I'm there. And she said, I just wish you could stay. I just wish you could stay. And I don't know how many hugs and kisses I got that morning, but there were a lot. And even after I walked outside, she was still with bare feet and her pajamas on. And I went out and got in the car. She followed me to the car. I actually had closed the door after our last hug and kiss, and she opened the door and reached inside and put her arms around my neck again and then kissed me on the cheek again and told me how much she loved me. My drive home was otherworldly. I sat there at 3:30 in the morning. 3:10 is when I got away from there, Central Time. And to try to conceive of what had just happened was just beyond my ability to fully grasp.
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family. Do a
gospel revolution.
Wow, you had quite a week, Michael.
I did, and sunshine all the way through.
You actually got...
So I know it was God's will that I went.
Well, you found out where the Outback was.
I did, finally. It's in South Florida, not in Australia.
That was a big thing, mate, finding out where the Outback is. I mean, lots of us haven't even found it out yet.
Exactly.
Well, I had a great week, mate. I had a visit yesterday from... Was it yesterday? Crikey. It's hard to remember. It's...
it just yesterday?
I think it was, the day before yesterday, Friday.
Oh, okay.
And into my life strode this gentle giant by the name of Al Vitale. Golly.
I have heard about him.
Yeah, I can imagine. The guy is Italian.
I mean, we try not to hold that against him.
But he's from Illinois. He's an Illinois Italian. You've heard about, does the name Capone mean anything to you? Well, anyway, he is just a lovely, lovely guy. Al dropped in and I was ready to go out and take him out to barbecue because he rang me. Remember that time we talked about me making ribs at your place?
Yes.
Well, he called me all the way from Gainesville and said, tell me your secret and I'll tell you mine. And it turned out we did ribs exactly the same way.
Is that right? I did not know that.
How about that? So that was like, I don't know, 9 months ago or something. So I was ready to... We were get ready to go out for ribs or we were ready to go out for coffee or anything. I mean, I was all tarted up, had my lipstick on, the whole bit, you know. And so he walked in and I said, what would you like to do, Al? And he said, I just want to talk. And I said, okay. So I dropped my purse and we just started talking. And it was just the loveliest time, mate. For an hour and a half, we just got to sit and chat. And, you know, we hardly even talked about the gospel that much. What we did was got to be easy with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when he left, I was just, I hate to wax poetic about this, but I just felt the greatest peace. It just felt like I had met a friend from years and years ago and we just took up where we left off. And yet I've never met him before. What a lovely guy he is. And he's with Mel Martin over there. I asked him how he'd come to encounter the gospel, and he told me that Mel had been working with him on one of his, I think, veterinarian surgeries or something, and suddenly they'd started talking. And this is a guy that had been never religious in his life, never had a day of religion except the fact that he was raised Catholic and kind of did this and went there and so forth, but never really was involved that much in church as you and I knew it. And to think that this gospel is reaching people in all walks of life, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of cultures. How perfectly wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am just thrilled that you and Al both got to encounter each other. I've encountered Al on the phone. I also met him in Gainesville. And, of course, I knew you. This is when I really get excited, when I know two people such as yourselves. And I already know what's going to happen before you get together because of knowing the hearts of the people involved.
Well, all I'm going to say, Mike Williams, is I like your buddies. I like them a lot. And Al Vitale, we treasure you, mate. Your support of the Gospel Revolution, your involvement with us, and your readiness to sit down and have a chat with us and tell us where you think we might be right or wrong. It's just wonderful. We enjoy you a whole lot.
So, Al, wonderful gospel revolutionary. We love him a bunch. So, thank you. We want more of this to happen. We've got meetings coming up to where that folks, if you want to experience this synergy, this third mind showing up, we got meetings in Dallas coming up, and we've got meetings in Calgary coming up. We've got the pledge drive coming up in just about a week now. And I know this just sounds like it's just been a love fest, and that's what it is. But this is the part that's important about the gospel revolution is, you know, when you realize other people have your best interest in mind, and we do. Well, we have your best interest in mind. We strive to do the show to where that you will benefit from it. We enjoy it. We enjoy it like crazy, Barris and I both. But that is one of the things that goes through my mind constantly whenever I'm meeting someone, or there's people that I've known for 40 years that are in the gospel revolution. And I sometimes think, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if these guys could meet these guys and those guys could meet those guys, and, because I know what's going to happen. It really is going to be this third mind is going to show up, and everybody's going to learn something and experience something wonderful.
Gospel Revolution.
Mike, I haven't heard about Moses Carter for a while. How's Moses in Kenya going?
Well, I just returned from my trip. I had email from him. I was kind of disconnected a bit on this trip, but I responded to an email to Moses this morning. We're trying to establish a more efficient and less costly way of getting funds to him, and I think we're probably just about there. We want to include Moses and the School of the Scripture in our pledge drive that's coming up, because we're accomplishing so much. When I say we, it's Moses and the people there in Kenya are accomplishing so much with the gospel that we want to put as much support there as we possibly can. So as you're thinking about this coming pledge drive, think about that. I think what I want to do, Barris, is set us a goal. And, you know, we have the conference in Canada. We have the conference in Dallas. We have the pledge drive. And what I would like to do is make January the most successful month that we've had in more than 15 years. Now, recently, we had the most successful year we've had in 15 years, more than 15 years. But if we start this year out, there's something about this momentum and setting these goals. And but if by the end of January, which my meeting in Canada is the 25th, so I'm going to include all the funds that come in there, the funds that come in December are from Dallas, the funds that come in from the pledge drive. But I am setting a goal for the month of January for $30,000 to come into the ministry to get us off to a great start to being able to do some great things this year, especially in Kenya. And well, we have we have equipment. You know, I just talked earlier about equipment purchases and remodeling the office there in Nashville, which I do everything I can do short of wringing your neck to stop you from spending money on this stuff. But again, I get ignored by everyone around me. I am just the figurehead around here. Nobody pays attention to me.
You know what Winston Churchill said? He said to the U.S. Congress in the both houses when they came together to listen to him, and he said, they said they would wring our neck like a chicken. Some neck. Some chicken.
Some chicken. Absolutely.
You're going to have to ring a bit harder there, buddy. Hey, listen.
Evidently.
30 grand. Man, you are really stepping up to the plate here, Michael.
Well, we are.
But I want to share with our people again what our hopes and goals are regards Africa. Now, I don't want to say that we favor any one part of the globe over any other. But we do face facts in a fairly downright way when it's needed. And essentially, our financial base is in North America, which includes Canada and the United States. But and although we have had extremely satisfying results here in North America, it is a very small part of a very big globe. And what we are looking at in Africa is 1 billion people. Now, we're not just looking at 1 billion people. We're looking at 1 billion people in probably, apart from India, one of the most closely populated areas on the face of the earth. And as such, it has, remember that almost every European country had a colony in Africa at some time. There was the French, Belgium, France, Dutch, English, German, Italian. I mean, every single one of those European countries had a foothold in Africa, which means that every one of those countries have their native speakers in Africa somewhere. There are people in Africa, native people in Africa, who speak Italian naturally, or French, or German, or whatever. Now, there is also a huge influx of Chinese to Africa currently, where they are putting infrastructure in place in various states of Africa. So you have another huge country in China. Now, what I'm saying is this. This gospel was going out in English and in Swahili, which is the prevalent language down the east coast of Africa, as I understand it. It was crossing five borders or borders into five different countries were being affected by this gospel, and it's our goal to have this gospel going out all the time in Africa, either in Swahili or in English. And if you think about it carefully, there is more of a chance of people in Africa taking this gospel and running with it back to the home countries that colonized this country, back to China, back to who knows where. And that's just a little bit of our dream. That's a little bit of the dream that Mike Williams shared with me. And it took me a little while before I got it. But once I got it, I thought, crikey, the opportunity is incredible.
Hello, this is Agneta Shiks from Nakuru, Kenya, and I have a spoken word poem. And God said, let us make man, not in our own image and likeness, but a man who is one with us. Let him be righteous, holy, and complete. For we are one with him. We will no longer be called a trinity by the religious community, for we are all one. All men are included in this one man, and no man is excluded, regardless of faith, belief, greed, or religion. All of this was consummated on the day of the Lord. The cross was the day of the Lord. On this day was the fulfillment of the law of the Psalms and the prophet, and the end of the world was at hand. The 10th week of Daniel was also fulfilled. The new world of the new creation was birthed on this day of the Lord. Well, what are you waiting for? Waiting for the end of the world, for the judgment of the world, for the second coming of the Messiah, for the fulfillment of the prophecy, for the destruction of the wicked, for the number 666 and the beast to be revealed? Well, I have shocking news for you. It all happened at the cross on the day of the Lord. There's no more spiritual warfare, no more prayers and fasting and intercessions, no more tithing, sowing and reaping, no more seeking the Lord, no more knocking on doors to be opened, no more obedience needed, no more curses for disobedient, no more calling for the name of the Lord, no more hell to punish sinners and sins, and finally, there's no more confession of sin. And do you know why? Do you know why? It is because there's no more law. Once again, my name is Agnesa Sheeks from Nakuru, Kenya. Be blessed.
Like you pointed out, Barris, our dream is based in absolute reality as to the opportunity we have here in Africa and in Kenya with the School of Scriptures. I will remind people that we have Muslims, Hindus. There's seven other branches of religions. We have a large representation of Christian folks that are coming and learning at School of Scriptures. Moses is now in the process of getting the school incorporated and licensed by the state because they are beginning to get some threatening gestures from some militant groups there. And my heart just sinks to hear some of these things, but we have revolutionaries there that are willing to step forward. My encouragement to them is just stay safe. You know, we get to do this power cast. I am under no threat. Barris is under no threat. No one listening in North America is under any threat. But you have to understand that our folks there in Kenya, they don't meet without the possibility of a threat hanging over them.
And when you have Christians and Muslims coming together in one room saying, this is God, this is a God we can believe in, let me tell you, you're looking at threats.
You very much are, because each and all of those groups are threatened by that fact that these people are coming together. I mean, they'll leave the Muslims alone, they'll leave the Hindus alone, they'll leave the Christians alone. As long as they maintain separation, that's fine. But all of these militant groups are threatened by the coming together of these groups more than they are by the groups that they oppose in particular.
Well, it's in the interests of religion to always maintain divisions, isn't it?
It always is. And in terrorism and everything else down the line, it's in the interest to maintain divisions. Divisions are falling, and in mentioning the different cultures that are there and nationalities, and that is the Japanese. The book is being translated into Japanese because Moses went to school and had instructors that were there from Japan, and so one of his instructors is helping him translate the book one. The Gospel According to Mike into Japanese. So I'm hoping, thank you so much for helping me articulate this in the what we have here. It's not just helping a family. Now, I love this family tremendously, but you've got to understand they've never asked us for anything. In fact, they've been the ones who invested the money to started the radio show. We're Johnny Come Latelys in all of this stuff. We are trying to catch up with them. We're not trying to get them to do something and catch up with us. It is just the opposite way around. And to be honest with you, we've not been able to keep up with these folks just yet in the effort that they are putting into it and what we can do from this part of the world to help them do what they do best. Everybody knows my heart in the gospel pertaining to these things. We have no need to control anybody's anything, but we do need to be able to help those who have it in their heart to do something to promote this incredible gospel. And we've got it here in Africa, in Kenya, and in this one family in particular that will hold the trust of the entire gospel revolution close to heart. The entire ministry of Mike Williams Ministries will be held to its highest standard possible. And this one little family there has a heart big enough to reach out with our help to this billion people and access then to the entire world. We can't let this fall away. They are struggling. We have gone through a year of applying a great deal of our finances toward getting stabilized here so that we'd be more effective there. In the process of doing that, though, it has cut into our ability to help them. But I just knew in the long run, even though this was going to be a temporary setback for us in Kenya, that we needed to get our house in order financially, and we have everything is squared away. Now we need to start this year with a great move forward. So Kenya, yes, we will put ourselves into this and into these people, and who have asked nothing of us but have done everything for us. And we're going to raise these funds, and we are going to raise $30,000 in January through all of our efforts, the pledge drive. In fact, we'll just extend the pledge drive to the entire month of January, and just to make sure that we get all of this done. And we've got these meetings. All of this potential is there for us to have $30,000 to come in January. By the close of the last day of January, we should have $30,000 to come in, and folks will be off and running. And then just our regular stuff and our regular pledge drives will fall so easy. We will be set to carry out the year in such a magnificent way for the first time in, oh my, well, for since forever in the Gospel Revolution. So we're excited. I'm excited about this. And I know that everyone out there is part of this. So we love you so much. Thank you for all that you do. And I know that you're going to participate in this.
I'll see that the money is gathered, and I'll see that the money is sent, and I'll wash and stack the communion cups. I'll tithe 11%. I'll volunteer for the nursery, and I'll go on the youth group retreat. I'll usher, I'll deacon, I'll go door to door. Just let me keep warming this seat. But please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. I'm just a man, I'm not a Tarzan. But like a lion, gorillas or snakes, I'll serve you here in suburbia, in my comfortable middle class life. But please don't send me out into the bush where the natives are restless at night. Please don't send me to
Gospel Revolution.
What's in it for you? And that's a question some of you are asking yourselves. What is in it for you to share your substance with this gospel? Here is what's in it for you. We don't, I'm going to say some things, and Michael might stop me saying this, but this is how I'm feeling. Mike and I don't care if no one knows our names in 100 years' time. Jeff doesn't care if anyone knows his name in 100 years' time. We don't really care if the gospel revolution keeps going. If the three of us are in an airplane and the airplane goes down, we don't even care if 10 years after we're gone, the gospel revolution is a non-entity. We don't care whether people know our names. What we care about is that this message never stops going out. It's the message that we are totally invested in. Now, we would like to think that the message is going to be continuous well after we're gone, along with the gospel revolution. But it's a message that inflames us. It's the message that excites us. It's seeing people set free, knowing they are one and they're one with God. It's seeing changes in politics. It's seeing changes in war. It's seeing changes in the face of this globe by people's understanding, coming to grip with the fact that we are one with God and we are one with each other. Question I'm going to put to every one of you is, can you help us in January make that a reality?
Yes, and then you notice I didn't stop you at all, Barrett. I'm here doing my happy dance for it. Yes, and this is the passion that's here, and I can tell you that it's in Jeff. It's in all of us. It's in Hazel. You know, the people who are here doing the job, and I have to tell you, it is an effort of many people, and including you. So let's get this done. My goodness, we have the opportunity of a lifetime to see an effect take place long after our departure. We've got gospel revolutionaries that are of all ages, from new children being born into it all the way to, in the past year and or so, we've lost gospel revolutionaries that have passed on. And I think everybody wants to make sure, like Bear said, that this gospel continues. Whether anybody knows our name or not is absolutely irrelevant. But what we do now will ensure what takes place later, and that's our goal.
And so it is that we must leave you, folks. We love you, one and all, and we especially thank those who, with your financial support, keep this message of grace and peace going out every week. If you'd like to join them in increasing our coverage of this gospel of grace and peace, call our office at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey. If you would just speak to Jeffrey anyway, so lonely, he makes our life a misery. Can you please ring him up and just talk to him? 321-220-4373 for Jeffrey. If you'd like to leave a message for the show, and please do, just call me on 234-564-0971. Our web address is always www.gospelrevolution.com, and we are always up for a Facebook chat at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, all the gospel all the time is being broadcast 24/7 at gospelrevolution.radiostream123.com. And so, it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the Gospel Revolution studios in Nashville, Tennessee. And
it's good night from Michael Williams. Thank you, guys. We love you. All the people I got to see on my trip to Florida, I still have you in my heart and mind. And next week, our next PowerCast, you have a surprise as to the locations, as to how we will be broadcasting, if I am not mistaken. So you'll have to tune in. Because we've got a surprise for you next week. I definitely have a surprise coming. So we love you guys. Remember, be thinking about how you want to participate in the pledge drive for the month of January in 2014. We've held off and just hope that you've had a wonderful Christmas. Have a great Christmas, folks. Merry Christmas. And don't forget about what this entire season is about, and the magnificent gospel of peace that the angels announced. We are still announcing to this day, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward man.
Emmanuel, God with us. Remember to join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Mucho better.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Bears. Thank you so much.
Thank you, friend.
Hey, just that problem earlier was just one component that needed to be unplugged and plugged back in. That was it. Nothing changed. Just...
Your brilliance exceeds your age.
Which has only exceeded my wife's fair girlish good looks. Okay, buddy. Love you to bits, mate, and thank you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Gospel revolution.
You're going down, or you got the case of the blues. Why don't you listen to the
gospel revolution. Ikila kwa na Mike Williams. Welcome.